This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
So like I said before, we finished Hay, which speaks about the Ribbono Shel Olam's Metzias, which the basic facts we know from Mesoras. We can then explain it, buttress it with logic or experience. We'll never ever be able to grasp what it is because it has nothing in common with our experiences. Let's talk a minute or two about this. How do I explain something? What does a person know? So, a person has experiences. He grows up, he tastes, he touches, he sees, he hears, he feels, and many things happen. Then when I introduce a new idea to him, I introduce it in the way that fits. I use the bits and the pieces that he already has configured, and I explain it. So if somebody never saw a car in his life, so I tell him, a box, you've seen boxes, right? Right. You've seen things rolling, okay. So imagine if the box were rolling. Imagine, and so on. What I do is I keep using bits and pieces. When somebody asks you to explain something, they have no idea what it is. I say it is like, it's like this, it's like that. I'm always translating it into some, like, just like in computer, everything ends up being translated to machine language. Our machine language are bits and pieces of experience that we've had, and b'meila, that's what we translate. Since the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Ruchnistic world have zero equivalence with our world, we cannot translate it in any way that's meaningful. The only meaningful statements we can make are effects something will have. L'mashal, and that's the reason why Torah Shebiksav does not speak about Olam Haba, doesn't speak about Ruchnis, doesn't speak about Hashem. It speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't, no philosophy about what Hashem is. And the reason is because Torah Shebiksav is Biksav. It's written. It's a metzias, and none of these things are a metzias. All we can say is, if you do a Hashem's Ratzon, then the metzias functions well. There's rain, there's food, there's crops, animals, etc. Don't do well, things go haywire. The only thing Torah Shebiksav can deal with are the concrete entities of our world. So because when you write something, you've committed it to a metzias. When you're talking, you can explain things, and then there's, in between the words, there's also what to understand. Okay, Vav. Umimashe tzorach sheda oit. Another point to understand about Ribbono Shel Olam and so on. V'shahamotzu yazeh yisbarach shmoy mucha she'echad v'lo yoyse. It's not, when we say Hashem is one, it's not just a mikra. It's be'etzim like that. And let's explain this also, and Maral makes this point many times. If I say that this pencil is yellow, is that statement true or not? So it's true in the sense that it happens to be that way. But there are pencils that have purple, blue, whatever. So when I say a statement like this pencil is yellow, I'm not expressing an essential truth. Essential truth, miloshen, of the essence. I'm expressing a truth that happens to be an incidental truth. It's something which, yeah, in the mikra, this pen happens to be yellow. If I tell you, a pencil can be erased, the writing has to be erased, I'm describing the essence of a pencil. A pencil writes things that can be erased. That's the essence of a pencil. So b'meila, when I say a pencil is erasable, I'm not stating an incidental truth. I'm stating a defining truth. When I say Hashem is Echad, what do I mean? Do I mean, well, there could be many gods, it could be some gods, it could be three, two, it happens to be Hashem is one? No. Hashem Echad Zot Hashem Much Shech Lo Yisa. It has to be. By definition, the only way you can find this rock is one. Pirush, She'i Efsha She'emotsu Mitzuyim Rabim She'em Tzi'uhu Muchach Me'atzmo Ela Echad B'vat Tzor She'emotsu Mitzuyim Samuch Vashal Mazer. There's only one entity that can have this feature. Ve'im She'emotsu Nimtzuyim Acherim Lo Yemotsu El Meishu Mamtzuyim. So if anything else is around, it's because he brought them into being. There's nothing else that has that property. Why is this important? It's true, but is there something that goes to the heart of our understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu? So there are a few. Let me mention two of them. One, the Rambam, is more like the Rambam, and another one. The Rambam says the following: Hashem being one. Because anytime I speak of two entities, I automatically must limit each entity. In other words, I must say that if I say there are two Baruch Tafels, then I'm going to have to. So how do you distinguish the two Baruch Tafels? Well, one is sitting here, one is sitting in Florida. Okay, that's one way to do it. Or I could say they're both sitting here, but he's sitting here from 9 to 10, and from 10 to 11, Baruch Tafel number 2 is going to come. Or I can say Baruch is sometimes in a very good mood, so there's a Baruch, the good-natured guy, and then there's Baruch, the stern-natured, we'll call it. We're not going to say bad. It's stern-natured. So I have a way of defining it. But if I tell somebody, no, there are two Baruchs, they're exactly the same, and they're sitting exactly here at the same time, the guy will say, Rebbe, I think you need a vacation. Badly. What are you talking about? What are you saying? It doesn't mean anything. To define two, I have to give gvulos. I have to say, this is up to here, this is up to here. So I automatically have to make him into a limited entity. I need, that's one reason. You cannot have two unless they are defined and limited. This one goes from this place to this place. This one is from this time to this time. If I have two bacterias, I'll say this one has this property, this one has that property. I'm going to have to distinguish, which means I'm limiting each one and saying this one is here and this one is here. This one is now, this one is then. This one has these qualities, this one has that qualities. There's no other way. So any time to be absolute and not dependent, it must be one and only one. That's more or less the Rambam's Mahalach. A second Mahalach is, whenever I have a few items then of the same kind, they're always the product of something above it. When I say cows, since there are many cows that in the world, there's a genetic pattern for cows that both are the result of. Anytime I have two entities that are the same, then they're sort of details. So what's the klal? You know, it's if I walk along. If there's only one statue, I came up with a crazy statue. So that's the only one here. But let's say I say this is a cow. This is a cow. It means the concept of cow. There's some genetic makeup. The base genetic makeup of a cow is here, and these are all examples of it. Anytime you have more than one, they are examples of a higher klal that they're coming from. Those are two thoughts on why it has to be that way. But Eich Shelo Yeh, when we say Hashem is Echad, and you have to understand this, because we base our strongest statement of faith in Rabbi Yisrael is Hashem Echad. Harugim al Yichud Shmecha. So we don't talk about being al Kiddush Hashem that there is a creator, but al Kiddush Hashem that the creator is one. Why is that so important? The answer is because one defines all the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it must be that Echad is not just a mikra, that, you know, Hashem happens to be one, but that Hashem being one is a core definition of the Ribono Shel Olam. V'nimtza, so now he sums up. Klal ha-yediyas ha-shosh ha-le-sheish, v'hein, amitas yosef barashmoy, the existence, shleimuso, perfection, hechreach himotzoi, that existence that's not the result of some other force, but he exists because he exists. Hey Yosef built a nitlav zuloso. He is independent. Pshitusoi. He is not consists of segments, but everything is one. V'yichudo, and he's the only. Or these six items are not six different elements of faith. If a person doesn't believe or minimally understand these things, then whatever he's believing in is not Ribono Shel Olam. We spoke about it. If somebody says he doesn't believe in God, he believes in Allah, is he a kafir or not? He's probably a murderer, but is he a kafir or is he not? What's his din? The answer is, it doesn't make a difference. As long as he defines whatever he calls it with this definition, then we're good to go. The letters are not what make a difference. It's a definition. On the other hand, if a person says he believes in Hashem, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, everything, but his definition is not the way we have it, then he's a kafir. And he can yell all day long, I believe in Hashem, but if he's defining Hashem, this is the basic definition of the properties that we need to ascribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And understand his belief in this is vital. It's very interesting. The Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, speaks a lot about many things that simple folk have a hard time understanding, and it's not for them. The Rambam's sodos of Torah are philosophical in nature, and he gives it the same attributes that we give to Kabbalah. That's meant only for people that are shalem and have deep thinking and analytical powers. But he makes a point again and again and again. The belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have a body is crucial. In other words, even the stupidest Amoraites, there's no excuse if he learns Pesukim as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some sort of goof. That's basic emunah. And a person who doesn't believe in these things, then he's a kofer. Even if he's a very, very pious person, and he means well, but this goes to the base definition. He says, and this is a chiyuv and a mitzvah, and obviously it was common in his time, the way he describes it, that many people would they were primitive people, and they understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of a physical entity, especially since the psukim speak about Yad Hashem, Amdu Raglav Yemahu, and all these, Talmor Nevuchim starts off, in other words, the nevuch, the perplexed, is the psukim that seem to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu physical attributes. That's the perplexed part. People make a mistake. That's what the nevuch is. And the Rambam holds very strongly, writes very strongly, that this is a chiyuv on every single person in Klal Yisrael who has a chiyuv to believe in Hashem. This goes into the definition of it. So any type of goof or any type of Masigia goof is going to be a problem. I heard from, you know, so today people not so much into HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nose or ears or eyes, but someone was telling me he was speaking to somebody, a fine yid, kind of a bit Hasidish even, Bal Tshuva of many years, but simple person. And this person was claimed that he had read in his forum, I think he reads most of it in English, that Hashem created the world because it was lonely. To which the Bacher basically told him he thinks that that's kfira. And this person said, no, that's what he sees. So this is an English translation of not easy Hasidic stuff. So Baruch Hashem, he convinced him that it means something else in the book. So that what the person was won't accept that. But if a person goes around there, because Baruch had the world because he was lonely, because this, that, the other thing, that's a form of hakshama. And it's definitely wrong. L'chala ateis and stuff, some that should be weeded out. It's tricky. And the reason why it's tricky is because it's very hard for us to relate to something that has no substance. Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg once spoke in his story. He used to speak every summer, he used to teach for 3 weeks. He said something I thought was very insightful. He said, at the end, Kal Yisrael brought into the world the belief in a God, one God, and with all of these, you know, and there was a Vatla Vodazara. Many Goyim sort of tried to jump on the bandwagon, but couldn't make it. Because it's very hard to believe in a God that you can't picture, that you can't feel, that you can't touch, and yet be tied emotionally to him. So he said Christianity was a compromise for them. So yes, God himself is not visible in that, but in some ways he is. He's a young guy, and he suffers a lot, and he's very, very, sympathetic, and so on. So it basically was a half a step back to Avodah Zarah that was necessary. They couldn't make that leap to a totally God that's beyond our senses. That was because they didn't have whatever it takes. But Al Kapanim, we need to understand that this goes a basic definition. Okay, we'll hold it here.